Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's open our word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willingness to go to that cross, to bear our judgment and die for our sins, so that each and every one of us may be brought into glory with thee. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the reading of thy word now. We ask you to guide this time by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, there's been a few things on my heart that I'd like to share with us today here. First, as I see the world and the way it's going on out there and just how everything's happening in all the different countries, it's clear to me that more people are going to hell than going to heaven. And even though Jesus told us this was going to happen, we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read verse 13 and 14. Jesus says in verse 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The broad way to destruction, that's the way to hell. And many are on that way to hell. Whether they know it or not, they're going to hell, unfortunately. And the way, the narrow way to eternal life, that's eternal life right there. The narrow way to life, that's eternal life. And few are on that way to eternal life. Sometimes as I look back and I'm out there in the streets trying to preach the gospel to people and I see the world events and I'm just shocked by how many people are really going to hell and they don't even know it. Or if they know it, they don't even care about it, but they're going to hell and I'm like, what's going on here? Obviously Christ is missing, but when it comes right down to it in a big group, you can say that the truth of God is missing from this world. So, in retaliation, I come back with some of the basic truths of God and just go back out there harder and just keep trying to reach him with the basic truths of God. So, right now, I'd like to continue with our foundation in John chapter 1. I'm going to go to John chapter 1. We're going to read selective verses here in this chapter, but we're going to begin in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now we pick it up in verse 14. Oh, and the light, where's verse 5 as well? And the light shineth in darkness. Very important. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This world is dark, and a lot of times they don't understand the truth, and they don't understand the light, because they comprehended it not. God says it. Then we go to verse 14, and we see now in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now we're going to continue in verse 29. "The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So just right here in this chapter, we see that Jesus Christ is God the Son, who became a man to dwell on this world here. We see that he's the creator of all. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That could put a lot of things to end right there in this world. We see that he's a source of grace and truth. And we see that he's the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, to continue with our foundation, go to chapter 3. Now, a lot of these verses may seem well known to us, but the world out there, sometimes it's just so confusing and they don't understand it. They need a little bit of help sometimes just to try to get them to understand the truth of God. And the world is blinded to the truth that we so sometimes just take for granted. Verse 16, John chapter 3, good example of the grace and mercy of God. Right here in the verse, we have grace and mercy in the same verse here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now remember, believeth means to trusting in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, shall not perish. There's the mercy of God. The mercy of God is when God holds back a punishment that we all deserve. That's the mercy of God. Shall not perish. And here's the grace of God. But have everlasting life. There's our citizenship in heaven right there. That's the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is when God gives us something good that we don't deserve. The grace of God. We shall go to heaven through trusting in Christ. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Sometimes you try to bring the Savior to somebody and let them know about the Savior. Sometimes they just feel so guilty already. They already feel condemned. They don't even want to talk about Christ or God or anything because they're already feeling guilty. They already feel condemned, which is a good start if you want to be saved. But see, they're missing. God didn't send his Son here to condemn you. He sent his Son here to save you. Now, I'd like to encourage us all to, as we read God's word, to try to reach the lost. God didn't send his Son here to condemn you, but he sent his Son to save you. Verse 18. He that believeth on him, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, we all start off in the same situation. We all start off condemned by God because we're all born into sin. We're habitual sinners. So once we get to the age of responsibility to make a choice, a responsible choice, we are responsible to trust Christ to be saved from the condemnation. Now, sometimes that's missed out in the word. They just ignore this section, but we are responsible to trust Christ to be saved from the condemnation. Now, in order for Christ to become the sacrificial Lamb of God, Christ had to die for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Now, a lot of people out there, they know that verse. They know it, that Christ died for our sins. They know it. They even believe it. But it means nothing to them. They just go on living their lives like it doesn't even, like it was never even said. Hey, 20 years ago, I was that person. I knew it and I believed it. Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died for my sins. But it did not change my lifestyle at all. So a lot of people out there are like this. They actually believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. But it does not change them. They just continue to live like they're living, like it has no effect on their heart. So for a moment here, I'd like to just take a closer look. What does it mean when Christ died for our sins? In the same gospel, turn to John chapter 12. John John chapter 12, we're going to read verse 31 through 33. Jesus says in verse 31, John chapter 12, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now back in those days, being lifted up from the earth was a well-known fact that you were going to die by crucifixion. So what Christ is saying is, when I'm lifted up, when you see me crucified, I'm bearing the judgment of this world. That's all of our sins. And the punishment that goes along with it was laid upon Christ on that cross. He took our judgment. Our sins were laid upon Christ. The punishment that we all deserve was laid upon Christ. God judged his Son for our sins. And the prince of this world shall be cast out. That's the devil. That Christ dying for our sins is actually going to be Satan's defeat. No longer have afraid of death. Christ took my punishment for me. Now to continue on the thought of judgment, turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, we're going to read verse 5. To begin with, verse 5, Isaiah 53. "But he," referring to Christ, "he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That means the punishment for our sins was upon him in order for us all to have peace with God. Christ took our punishment on that cross. So each and every one of us in this world can have peace with God, that everlasting life in heaven. Now we know it all took place from within the soul. It wasn't something you could actually see with the naked eye, besides the fact that it was dark during those hours. Because the soul is referenced three times in this chapter. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12 in the same chapter. The soul is referenced three times. Verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord," that's God the Father, "it pleased God the Father to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." And in verse 11, there it is again, the soul. "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Our sins, our judgment was laid upon Christ. It says here in the same chapter, the Lord, God the Father, laid on him the iniquity of us all. Laid our sins and the judgment that goes along with it on Christ on that cross. Now the soul, that's where all of our feelings and emotions come from. So that means Christ became fully aware of every sin that we've ever committed and the judgment that goes along with it. It became fully known to Christ on that cross. And he took our punishment. Says it again in verse 12. "Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Christ is making intercession for mankind right now. And he'll make intercession for each and every one of us if we want him to do so. Now, I got to tell you the truth. When I finally came to Christ, I came to Christ to be saved from hell. I knew I was a sinner dying and going to hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew that. I didn't know the extent of hell and the damnation that comes along with it. All I knew was I didn't want to go there. And I knew that Christ was the one that died for my sins, and I knew he was the one that could save me. So I finally came to Christ to be saved from hell. But like I said, I didn't realize the eternal damnation that comes along with hell. See, hell is only the first step in eternal damnation. That's the first step. So let's take a moment and just look at the judgment that comes along with this. Because I'm concerned a lot of people out there are going to hell and they do not know it, just like me, like I was 20 years ago. So turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to read verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Jesus is talking about a future event here at this point. Because Jesus knows he's going to go to the cross, bear our judgment, and die for our sins. And he knows he's going to be resurrected from the grave, and he's going to return back to heaven. Now, there are many scriptures that says that Christ is in heaven right now, but I just want to bring out one. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, remember, this is after Christ rose again from the dead, and he was walking down the road with a group of people talking to him. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. There it is, clearly spoken by God's word. You go to hell, because it's the only other place you can go if you die in your sins is hell. The only other place described in the Bible is hell. You can't go to heaven if you die in your sins. Where Christ is, he says you cannot go. So the only other place is hell. And like I said, that's just the first stop of eternal damnation. So we understand here, if you die in your sins, you go to hell. You can't go to heaven. There it is. You can't go to heaven. He says, if you die in your sins, you can't go where I am. Here he is sitting on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. Okay, so now we try to let's take a moment to understand what happens in eternal damnation. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to read Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Okay, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Okay, now let's pick it up in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I know it's a lot to grasp here, but let's see what happens here. Let's try to recap a little bit. First of all, you die in your sins, you go to hell. Now, we know you're going to be there for at least 1,000 years. Because this judgment day doesn't happen for 1,000 years. Plus, we know there's a 7-year period of tribulation on this earth. So that's 1,007 years. Plus, say you died right now. Whatever time elapses between the time you die and the time the tribulation begins, that's 1,007 and some odd years. So you're going to be in hell for 1,000 and some odd years before the judgment day comes up. Then you get taken out of hell, reunited with your dead body, stand before the great white throne, which Christ sits upon. We know Christ sits upon the throne, and he's the one who does the judging. Turn to, I think it's John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 22. John chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus says, "For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." Here it is. So, Christ is the judge. The one who wanted to be our Savior, died on the cross to be judged for us, now becomes our judge as we stand before him in our dead bodies, which is going to exist for all eternity. Now, a lot of times I see people out there and they'd be like, well, I'm not as bad as that person, or I'm not as bad as that group of people. And they try to justify themselves by comparing themselves to other people. Now, that's only good in one aspect. When judgment day comes, just say you and that group of people you were trying to justify yourselves with, say you both die in your sins, okay? You go to hell, and then on judgment day, that means that person is going to have a greater damnation in the lake of fire. You might have a better spot in the lake of fire. That's what that means. Your judgment is going to be a little bit less than that person because you weren't as bad as that person. But I don't care what level of punishment you are in the lake of fire. It's not going to be good. Look at how it's described here. The lake of fire is a place of fire and brimstone where the beast, the false prophet are, the devil is, and everybody else who died in their sins. And you're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever in that dead body that you had, which is going to exist for all eternity, suffering, being tormented. Now, it does not mean that there's actually day or night there. What that means is, because Jesus describes it as a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That just means for every single moment for all eternity is going to be tormented. Every moment for your existence for all eternity. No end of time now. It's all over. You're going to be tormented for every moment for all eternity forever. And you're just forgotten about now. So you may say, well, why are you preaching the judgment day here to us? But we're all saved. Really? Does that mean everybody here belongs to Christ? I don't know that. Now, that means if everybody belongs to Christ here, I bring this up for three different reasons. First of all, if everybody belongs to Christ and the Lord was to come back right now and take all of his people off this earth, that means this room would be empty, nothing left but an open Bible and a light on. That's what that means. Everybody would be missing. Or would you be the one person left behind looking around going, what happened to everybody? Now we know what happens in a twinkling of an eye. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed and caught up with the Lord in the air. That's like this. All of a sudden, you'd be sitting here and going, oh, everybody's gone but me. What happened? And then you're going to face the tribulation period on earth, which is hell on earth. Then you're going to die and go to hell, and then come before the judgment throne of Christ, and then get thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. So there's three reasons why I bring up the judgment. First, if you're not 100% sure that you belong to Christ, today is the day that you become sure of your salvation. You turn to Christ today and put your faith in Christ today to be saved from judgment day. He already took our judgment on the cross. There's no reason why any of us should ever go there. He took it for us on the cross. We can be justified through Christ. The second reason I bring it up, maybe this might motivate us a little bit more to try to reach the lost out there. Because I know, we all know the eternal damnation that's coming to them. A lot of times when I'm out there in the streets trying to reach people, I know they're going to this eternal damnation. I don't want them to go there. So I try to reach them a little bit more. Maybe we can try to reach them a little bit more. Maybe we can pray for these people more. We have prayer and Bible study here every Tuesday night. Now, please bring up the prayer request if you got somebody on your heart that you want saved. We will petition the Lord with prayer every Tuesday night as an assembly together. Now the third reason I bring it up is Maybe this might help us to praise the Lord more when we come here and we remember the Lord. Every day we think, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for saving me from this eternal damnation. I know I do. Thank you, Lord. I know I belong there. Okay? But I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for saving me. I'm alive and doing fine. Thank you, Lord. Now, the last thing on my heart is the people who actually believe the truth, but they're not saved. There's a lot of people out there who actually believe the truth. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for their sins, but they're not saved. I was that person 20 years ago, and I see it happen a lot. A lot of times, you know, when you talk to them, they'll be like, oh yeah, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you died for my sins, and they just kind of want to end it right there and walk away. So I said, excuse me, you already got them talking. They're already opened up to you, telling you how they feel. So let me ask this one question. If you were to die right now, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? And a lot of times you'll hear something like this. Well, I hope so. Or I should be. You know, people who actually have some kind of position out there in this world, well, I better be. Yeah, something like that, right? Or the one that gets me the most, so I'll find out when I get there. I am not going to gamble with that. If you're going to gamble with your eternal destiny about that, I'll find out when I get there. Look at what you're gambling with. You're going to be going to a lake of fire and tormented for every moment. And I don't want that to happen. I try to reach people a little bit more, and I actually care for them more. I have a little compassion on them. Listen, man, you don't understand. Let me just show you the scriptures here a little bit. So they may look at it and say, that's good. I'll find out that when I get there. They don't want to, you know, that's it. They just want to walk away. You see, there's no conversion that has taken place in the heart yet. Whether they're not convicted of their sins, maybe they just don't care. Maybe they just need help trying to understand the connection here. Now, if you see those people, please try to help them make the connection. Sometimes they just get confused. Remember, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there's got to be a conversion in the heart. That means the person has to claim Christ, claim that free gift of salvation. Claim it by faith. Faith in Christ, you're all children of God. What does Jesus say about the conversion? Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. There's got to be a conversion. What does Jesus say in verse 3? And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There it is. It's got to be a conversion in the heart. This is Jesus is talking about childlike faith here. Doesn't mean become a children as a child. He means this is talking about the childlike faith. Become as a child with that childlike faith and embrace that salvation. Now listen, I don't have kids, never did, but I have taught a lot of kids how to play games and sports. And now this I know, when a child wants to learn a game or a sport and he trusts the person teaching them, they listen very carefully and they try to follow each step of the way to learn the objective game or sport. This is how we're supposed to come to heaven. Come with that childlike faith. Now look it, we all come as guilty sinners. We're all guilty sinners who need to be saved from our sins, from dying and going to hell. Now we got to trust Christ. Christ is the one to save us. Okay? Savior means the one who saves. So it's not like try to come with maybe I got some religious works or rights or some kind of righteous deeds I've done. And then try to say, okay, that plus Christ, maybe my church attendance. That's not it. Christ and Christ alone is the Savior. First Timothy. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews. First Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verse 3, beginning with 3 through 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins on the cross. The only way. Okay, so now let's walk through the salvation process here. We're all guilty sinners, trusting Christ to save us. He is the Savior of sinners, we sing. Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. Okay, so that a lot of times that's the easy part with most people out there in this world. Well, they'll gladly accept Christ as their Savior. But we know the Scriptures say we have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, which might have been the hardest part for me, surrendering my life to the Lord. I was the Lord of my own life for years, okay? Then I had to turn around, take a dramatic change and say, okay, Christ is now my Lord. I want eternal life. Christ is the one that gives me eternal life, the Lord. So go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll begin the chapter with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want peace with God? You want a peace with God in heaven? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The chapter ends the same way, verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. Trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior for eternal life. What does it mean to trust Christ as your Lord? Look at chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now righteousness is the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at the chapter ends in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now the wages of sin is death. Now, that's not only the physical death that we all are subject to, but it's that eternal death in the lake of fire, the second death, which we are all also subject to unless we turn to Christ and trust Him as our Lord and Savior. Now, maybe you're not 100% sure of your salvation today. Today is the day of salvation for you. You can trust Christ in your heart. Bring up your guilty self to Christ. Just come to Him as you are, a guilty sinner, and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make it known to Him. He hears your heart. He wants to save you. You can be saved today. Maybe everybody really is saved, and I don't know it. But if you are saved, maybe this might just keep this in our mind to try to reach the lost out there, because the day of grace is coming to an end. Whether the Lord comes back and takes all His people off this earth and the tribulation period begins and people die in their sins and go to hell, day of grace is over that way. Day of grace is over. Or somebody could die in their sins and the day of grace is over. Your fate has been sealed. Now all of a sudden your sins come up on judgment day. Whether it's a little amount of sins or a great amount of sins, it all comes up on judgment day, and that determines your spot in the lake of fire. So, either case, may you use it with the Lord's will here. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, We thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he's willing to save people today, save them from the lost eternity. If there's anybody here, Father, that has not yet placed their trust in Christ, may you draw them to Christ now and help them receive Christ as their Lord and Savior so they can have eternal life. Father, may you help each of us to go ahead and spread the news of the gospel of salvation to the lost. May you encourage us more to reach those people, pray for them more. Help us to be good servants, Father. Thank you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.